6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The number of people apprehended for illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border is down. The Department of Homeland Security made the announcement today. The Texas Tribune reports it's the second month in a row that the number has fallen. 31,000 immigrants were apprehended at the border in July, which is an 8% decrease from June. But the number of families who were caught or turned themselves in stayed flat. Homeland Security called the overall decline in apprehensions last month evidence that the Trump administration's recent crackdown has deterred immigrants from trying to cross the border illegally. But last month's numbers are comparable to the month of July in recent years, and over the past two decades, the number of apprehensions along the border has been steadily falling. The city of Fort Worth is scrambling to find a fix to shore up its pension fund. City leaders say the city's retirement program will go bankrupt within three decades if nothing is done. But as KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, it's not going to be easy.
When Fort Worth City Manager David Cook stood in front of the city council to brief them at an afternoon work session, he was blunt.
This is a very difficult issue, and there are no simple solutions.
Here's the problem. There's not enough money going into the city's retirement system to cover everything the fund will pay out over the next few decades. Fort Worth's firefighters, police officers, and city workers are required to pay into the fund, and retired city employees count on pension payments. But nonetheless, there's a shortfall, and it's big.
Somewhere along the way, if we don't do anything, this fund runs out of money at some point in time in the future.
It took years for things to get this bad. Short-sighted decisions in the 90s, some poor investments, and most recently, the recession. And it's cost the city. Twice, the credit agencies have downgraded Fort Worth's credit rating, making it more expensive to borrow money. The city isn't alone in pension woes. Dallas and Houston have struggled recently, but Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price wants to avoid having state lawmakers in Austin step in and force a solution.
I'm always of the opinion that local officials are elected to handle tough decisions, and this is one of them. Austin has no idea what the other demands are in Fort Worth, or they don't know the face of our retirees and what they face.
Solving the problem will take a mix of concessions from workers and more money from city coffers. The city manager laid out one proposal that would add $48 million to the pension fund each year. It's not a finalized plan, more of a first stab, says Mayor Price.
Our job is to balance this out as equitably as possible between city taxpayers and our employees. We've got to figure out how to make the numbers work without asking taxpayers to put too much in, but still understanding where our employees and our retirees are on this.
Those employees and retirees seem to be in lockstep, opposed to the proposed fix. Manny Ramirez from the Fort Worth Police Officers Association says it relies too much on employee concessions and not enough on taxpayer contributions.
We need the city to pay their fair share. And when we say fair share, obviously fairness is malleable, the term, but when you're speaking numbers, fairness usually equates to 50-50.
When the city council met again, the chamber was deluged by firefighters in red shirts demanding a better deal. They were joined by police officers, city workers, and a host of retirees, and the council got an earful about the most controversial proposal on the table, the elimination of cost of living adjustments for some retirees. Pete Rosenberg told them it's unfair. He sacrificed for the city and has the scars to prove it.
On August of 99, in 106-degree weather, I was at a large fire and broke my neck. I worked a year before they found it out. I have fallen through roofs, and roofs have fallen on me as a firefighter.
Jerry Horton, who worked at the library, shuffled up to the microphone with the aid of her walker.
I live in my old 100-year-old house, and I'm almost 100 myself. I can get by on mine without any raises, but there are a lot of people here who can't, or work their guts out for the city, and you owe them their raises, and you all know you owe them.
The city council will spend the next few weeks working on a plan to shore up the retirement system. They want to vote on a solution next month, but the biggest hurdle comes after that. It takes a majority of city workers to approve any changes to the pension fund. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Each year, the Texas Lyceum asks people in the state how they feel about current issues. Joshua Blank oversaw the 2018 Lyceum poll, which was released last week. And today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about what the responses show about the upcoming midterm elections.
The race, Josh, between incumbent Senator Ted Cruz and challenger Representative Beto O'Rourke seems to be getting a lot of attention outside of Texas. We've got nearly 3 months until the actual election happens. How close do things look right now?
They're looking a lot closer than we would normally expect. I should start with the caveat, you know, and the caveat here is that, you know, this polling was done in July. This was one of three polls that came out last week that all showed that Senate race as being very close. But it's important to remember that, you know, for most people, the campaign does not begin until after Labor Day. I mean, the candidates are just starting to spend money on television ads. I think actually the results of those three polls probably, you know, maybe pushed the Cruz campaign to speed up their expenditures on campaign advertisements. But this is very early in the race. This is a snapshot in time. And generally speaking, you know, looking back at historical polling data, Democrats tend to poll better earlier, and then the gap that favors Republicans tends to expand as the fall campaign goes on.
This state has voted like a red state for a very long time now. Some Democrats say it's a blue state, but Republicans turn out to vote in greater numbers than Democrats. Is it that literally there is a larger number of registered Republican voters in Texas?
That's right. I mean, I think what Democrats will often say, the line that they use is that it's not a red state, it's a non-voting state.
Right.
And there's some truth to that. I would say that the reality is if you look at the adult pool, it's probably more of a purple state if you're looking at all Texas adults. But then when you move from the sample or let's say the population of Texas adults who are extremely young, extremely diverse, and then you move to the pool of people who actually are registered to vote, that pool of people becomes, you know, significantly older and significantly whiter and in turn significantly more Republican. And as if you move from that group to the group of actual likely voters, that group still gets even older and even whiter and even more Republican on average.
Have you seen any change over the years in the percentages of Texans who are ready and willing to identify strongly with one party or another? Do more people call themselves independent or unaffiliated today?
There are people who flutter in and out. It depends on how you define independent. There's two ways you can do it, basically. You start off in a survey and you basically ask people the standard question, you know, do you generally think of yourself as a Democrat or Republican, an independent or something else? And if people say Democrat or Republican, you say, well, do you think you're a strong Democrat or a not so strong Democrat or a Republican? Then with the independents, you have two choices. You can leave everybody else as is and say, OK, these are the independents. And if you do that, you know, you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-30% of the electorate at any, you know, given point in time. And it can kind of depend on when you ask the question. You know, so for example, back when Mitt Romney was running for president, he made his 47% comment, you know, 47% of people are just never going to vote for me because blah, blah, blah. You know, at the time, that was seen as such a terrible thing to say. And when we were doing polling at that point, there were just, you know, not a lot of people who were independent who actually identify with the Republican Party. So what I mean by that is, you know, so we take that 30% and then we might say to them, well, do you lean to the Democratic Party or do you lean to the Republican Party? And the reason we do that is because the people who say they lean Democrat or lean Republican, they actually look like strong partisans. They may say they're independent, but if you actually prod them to which party they lean towards, their attitudes actually line up with the strong partisans on either side. So that what that leaves is usually about 10% of people who we can think of as true, pure independents, people who don't lean towards either party. Most independents tend to be defined by their lack of interest, knowledge, and engagement in politics, and that's what leads them actually towards not identifying with one party or the other, especially in such a polarized time where the parties are just so different.
That was Chris Boyd speaking with Joshua Blank, who oversaw the 2018 Lyceum poll. You can find a link to that poll at think.kera.org, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. Possible thunderstorms tonight across North Texas. It's 94 degrees right now in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.